Welcome to the Center for Spiritual Living Santa Rosa, a spiritual community that promotes global transformation through personal transformation. At the center, we are motivated by a compelling vision of a healthy, loving world, which we call the Global Heart Vision. This vision inspires us to bring the gifts of compassion and loving kindness to the world through our ministries and teaching. What you are about to hear is a recording of a message delivered at the Center for Spiritual Living Santa Rosa. Feel welcomed. Feel at home.
Thank you very much, Jayalakshmi and Ananda. And they're going to be back tonight with a concert at 7 p.m. So thank you. It's so wonderful working with you again. And welcome to the Center for Spiritual Living, where all that we ask of you is that you stay open to the possibility of changing your entire life by changing today's topic. Because, you know, August, our focus has been gratitude, appreciation for all people and all nations. And people have been asking me, well, what about all sentient beings? What about the planet we live on? And indeed, that's the focus we turn our attention to in September 2019, stewardship of our planet. However, it seems that we ought not to wait until next month to talk about our planet. If you've been reading the news, you've probably read about the fires that are burning in the Amazon forest. It's very significant, and well, the significance of it was captured in one of the headlines of the newspaper that said, "The lungs of the world are burning." The world's largest rainforest cleanses our atmosphere, and when it burns, the fire releases carbon dioxide into our atmosphere. It's very significant. It's a world issue. It can be seen from space. So important that even aircraft from Sacramento have been deployed to help combat the fire. Now, as you know, there is disagreement in our nation about everything, including whether or not climate change is real. And when you add that to the tragic events in our world, it produces a lot of separation and conflict and generates a lot of fear and frustration and anger. The author Charles Eisenstein, he posted a video on YouTube recently talking about how he is feeling these waves of helplessness and grief and asking the question, what do you do with all of that energy? He's come to the conclusion that although these are real, honest human feelings, they can also function like a trap or a diversion by turning the grief and helplessness into rage and causing people to look for someone to hate on, someone to blame. He isn't denying what's going on. He's not denying the feelings of grief and hopelessness. He is recognizing the potential detour into rage and hate, and when he takes that, how it makes him less powerful, less capable, less helpful, and more hopeless. He asks the question, what solution does rage invite us to seek? Rage invites us to fight, to find an enemy, and to win the war against them. And when the war is won against whomever it is, then it is often the case that the problem remains unsolved, because the rage diverts our attention from the larger issues, you know, for example, such as the economics of greed, the global debt regime, the ideology of an earth that is lifeless, an object to be exploited. The problem, Charles says, is that even if we win the war, even if we remove the guilty party, it is often the case that others will rise up to take their place, because what hasn't changed is the mindset that caused it. We call that consciousness. Being a religious scientist, and that's what we call ourselves here at the Center for Spiritual Living, being a religious scientist calls us into a very specific kind of action. Our work is to change personal consciousness, to change global consciousness, to change the world. And that is something we can all be part of. Some people are blessed to be able to do something physically, to get involved with the issues of the world. They can pick up their lives and go to where they are needed and do something. And many, many, many other people can't, for whatever reason. Nevertheless, there is a way. There is a way for us to be involved, because everyone can participate in what Don Miguel Ruiz calls dreaming a new dream. A dream of a more beautiful world our hearts know is possible. That's actually the title of one of Charles's books. A more beautiful world our hearts know is possible. Makes me think of the biblical vision of the peaceable kingdom. Makes me think of the vision of our own organization, the global vision of a world that works a little bit better for everyone, a generous, loving world in which nature is revered as sacred. With the burning of the Amazon in mind, Michael suggests we can participate by inviting the earth to stay alive. And he asks us to imagine someone who's very sick, on a sick bed, and asks, what is it that gives that person the will to live, to get better, to survive? And in part, in many cases, it's the people around them who love them, need them, want them. It's the feeling of gratitude and respect and encouragement also. They feed into the consciousness of healing. Community, caring, interdependence, connection, honor, blessing, and loving kindness. Michael suggests we can be that for our planet. And so he calls us to imagine blessing our planet with everything that we do. To imagine showing love and respect to the planet in everything we do. He invites us to affirm a living earth, not a dead earth, and to see that as a game changer in consciousness. Now, how will this help? How can this possibly help? Well, Charles Eisenstein says he trusts the principle of morphic resonance. Morphic resonance is a theory that says that when change happens anywhere, it creates a field, like an energy, like a pattern, so that similar change can happen more easily everywhere else. We call that a change in mental equivalent. That's our language. A mental equivalent is what you and I accept to be normal. And when we change what we accept and allow and promote to be normal, we create a pattern for further change to take. A change of mental equivalent is a change of perception, and it orients us in the direction of what we want to see happen. Charles Eisenstein describes it as a change on the level of the heart. And he says, I don't know how specifically this will change the situation in Brazil, but I've learned to trust. I'm learning to trust the causal principle. Ah, he's talking our language. Trust the causal principle. We call that the consciousness of the divine, the causal principle. And we are learning to trust consciousness. I like to say, I trust consciousness to do the heavy lifting when I personally don't know how it will happen. So my job then is to lift up my consciousness, raise its level as high as possible, and to get to a high vibrating consciousness about the issues of the world. I may have to put down my grief, my anger, my fear, my frustration for a moment, because I cannot take them with me into the temple of my creative heart, not if I want to create a war-free zone. And if I'm not ready to put down my grief and frustration because it's too overwhelming, then it's time for me to get assistance in getting there. And the resources are plenty. Our online telephone ministry of prayer, our online telephone, online put in a prayer request, our after service prayer, there's many resources. And then when I do get to a place when I'm ready to enter the temple of my creative heart, that's where I can expect to encounter my intuition, the innate knowledge in me. That's where I will find the prompt for what is mine to do. And it turns out that what is mine to do may not be the same for everyone. I've had to learn that with humility, to trust diversity and embrace complexity and all the differing, conflicting opinions and ideas that exist, and to appreciate that it's all part of some unfathomable interconnectedness. And I've got to stop trying to make everything and everyone the same according to my plan. Kevin and I just watched a movie, perhaps you've seen it, The Biggest Little Farm. Has anybody seen it? Rather remarkable movie about a couple from Santa Monica who they purchase a dried up old farm in Moorpark, California, where the soil had been utterly depleted of nutrients, not to mention the natural drought that occurs as well. So they planted some 10,000 trees from 200 different crops. You see, the previous farm had one single crop, uniformity, conformity. And apparently that didn't work out too well for the old farm. Now, it took them 7 years to bring the balance back to the land so that a complex and diverse ecosystem could establish itself as a living, self-regulating system of friends and apparent foes, all with their part to play for the greater good. One of the many things that impressed me about the movie was at that moment when the drought came to an end with the heavy, heavy rainstorm dumping gallons of water on the farms in the whole area, their neighbor farms lost all their topsoil. It got washed away in the torrents of water. But because John and Molly, the new farmers, had awoken the complex ecosystem, the ground cover and the soil health withstood the natural flood. And rather than get washed away, ruin all their hard work, it soaked up the water and refilled their aquifers. So it turned out their safety, their survival, their thriving came from a mindset of interconnectedness, interdependence, inclusion, diversity, and complexity. Charles Eisenstein describes the mindset that generates despair as the mindset of a separate self in a world of others, interacting by force to make things happen in a mechanical, lifeless universe. One that should be taken advantage of. And he asks the question, what if the universe doesn't work like that? What if self and other are interwoven intimately? What if there is a mysterious connection between what goes on inside and what goes on outside? What if we are part of a living universe? And with those questions, he is describing part of our science of mind teaching. Here's how we say the same thing. We believe in the living Spirit Almighty, and this Spirit is in and through all creation, but not limited to this physical world. We believe in the unity of all life and that the highest God and the innermost God is one God. We believe in the direct revelation of truth through our intuitive nature, and that anyone may become a revealer of truth who lives in close personal contact with the indwelling God. And it reminds me, I must become a revealer of truth. I must find a way to reawaken and re-resonate with hope and encouragement and the love that my heart knows is possible. I've got to take that into the temple of my creative heart so that I can receive the direct impress of the living Spirit and feel its instructions for what is mine to do. And it doesn't mean I will suddenly have a plan to stop whatever danger is currently present. But it does mean I'm making myself available to what wants to happen next. The mind may have no way of knowing how to get from A to B to the solution. But the heart knows it's possible. That's called vision. That movie, The Biggest Little Farm, in those 7 years where they were reestablishing the balance of nature, it wasn't easy because so many systems had been broken and were out of balance. Too many snails destroys too much foliage. Too many birds eats too much fruit. Too many slugs can I don't know what they did. Too much dung produced too much flies. Too many moles eat away the... And so it goes. So the farmers became overwhelmed, running on empty, chasing after the solution of one problem after the other until they learned to stop. To stop fighting. They had to stop waging war on what seemed like an enemy. They had to avoid buying into the mindset of you must eliminate the threat. They had to learn to wait, to watch, and to listen to the wisdom that wanted to emerge. And I'm not going to ruin the movie for you, but something wonderfully organic happens. So even though my mind may not have the understanding of how to get from here to there, I must stick with what my heart knows is possible. And because the social mind is so immersed in conflict and separation, my spiritual work is to readjust my thinking every day to the reality of interconnectedness and oneness and the mystery of complexity and diversity. Charles ends his video with a beautiful request to us. Please, do not take the bait offered that comes along with life's tragedies. The bait that diverts us to hatred and blame. Don't get caught up in despair. It's not that these aren't real, deep responses. They are part of the normal human response network that is called caring. And right now, as agents of change, we need each other's strengths and highest vibration. Strengths to not wage war, but to stay loyal to what we know in our hearts. To stay open to the prompting of spirit within and to develop a naive optimism to trust that there is a larger intelligence operating in life, an intelligence that is not separate from life, but one that runs its holiness through us as we turn to it. an intelligence that knows how and where to use you and me for the revealing of wholeness. Spiritual practice is not a substitute for action. It is its own action. It is a radical reorientation of the mind for the purpose of revealing wholeness. It's worthy. And if you want to stay awake and honest in your practice, you and I can ask ourselves, does taking time in the temple of my heart make me more paralyzed or more energized? Does it make me less caring or more caring? And that way you and I can be our own judge of the effectiveness of the experiment. I believe that together we are creating a new normal right now. And that in this moment of creation, we need each other's highest mind and most beautiful energy to carry the work forward. I invite you to breathe in with me and to exhale, letting your eyes close as I read to you this Hawaiian prayer. Let us give thanks for the world around us. Thanks for all the creatures, stones, and plants. Let us learn their lessons and seek their truths so that their paths might be ours and we might live in harmony, a better life. May the earth continue to live. May the heavens above continue to live. May the rains continue to dampen the land. May the wet forest continue to grow. Then the flowers shall bloom, and we shall live again. Let us give thanks for the world around us. Thanks for all the creatures, stones and plants. Let us learn their lessons and seek their truths so that their path might be ours and we might live in harmony, a better life. May the earth continue to live. May the heavens above continue to live. May the rains continue to dampen the land. May the wet forests continue to grow. And then the flowers shall bloom and we shall live again. Let us bring our time of prayer and contemplation to an end by breathing in together deeply, followed by a sigh. We use the movement of our breath to make the transition to our spiritual practice of circulation. Circulation includes giving and blessing and thanking and receiving. And today I invite you to think about the many ways that the earth blesses you. While you're practicing your giving, think of the beauty that is yours just because. I invite the ushers to stand while you prepare your gift. Won't you say after me, I bless this gift. I send it forth to heal and prosper. It does amazing work in the world. And so it is. Ushers, please receive the gift.